Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is The Breakfast Bite on Thursday, the 17th of September, 2020. Andrew May's with you for the next 25 minutes as we wrap up the latest in the world of racing and sport. Let's start with the footy world. Adam Simpson ahead of West Coast match tonight, an all-important one for them if they're to solidify their spot in the top eight and try and break into that top four. They play North Melbourne, and he can't afford to be resting anyone.
We've also got the bye coming up, and I suppose gone are the days where you shut down five or six of your players because of the finals coming around the corner. There's a two-week break, plus if they don't play this week, it gets close to one game in a month, and then you start to think about form and continuity. So, yeah, if everyone's fit, they'll play. If anyone's sore, they won't.
In the cricket, a live score at the moment, Australia 5 for 245. They need 58 runs from 42 deliveries, but it could have gone a whole lot worse after Mitch Marsh was dismissed for just two. The Aussies were on the brink of collapse.
Oh, now was edge on that. Yes, there was. Joe Root strikes again.
So chasing 303 for victory. Glenn Maxwell and Alex Carey, they're not out. Batsman at the crease. Maxwell on 86, not out. Carey on 85, not out. Australia at one stage were 5 for 73. Fantastic recovery so far. We'll cheer them home, hopefully, in the next hour on The Breakfast Bite and The Breakfast Club.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Half and Whitey will return on The Breakfast Club after 6 this morning. Cameron Percy will be a part of the show ahead of the US Open. We'll have a chat to him about that. We'll also have a chat to him about his round last week. Might be a bit of a psychology session after Whitey put the moth on him, but good luck to Cam Percy over the next couple of weeks. Plenty of Aussies in that field as well. Phil Rockner covering the Tour de France will also join us, and then hopefully we get your winner. Been saying this for a long time now on the early mail before 7 o'clock. Brad Johnson from the Western Bulldogs to preview Thursday night footy after 7 this morning. Then Storm assistant Jason Riles, Jeremy Lohliger, the CEO of the NBL, and Sean Burgoyne. Fascinated to hear what he has to say about signing a final contract. That's assuming he doesn't go on to play 400 games next year and be a part of Hawthorn's Indigenous programs as well. After 8:30, a Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate, and then after 10:30, RSN Central with Gareth Hall. So a huge Thursday coming up with plenty of previews of all the action coming up at Caulfield on Saturday. It is going to be a massive weekend of racing. Let's start with the footy world, and we'll start with tonight's match. First of all, here's Adam Simpson on the fitness of Elliot Yeo, who continues to battle his problems.
Largely based on pain with a player. So it's a difficult injury to overcome. It's hard to overcome it in a short period of time because you do have to back right off and then have to rebuild. So, you know, every week that you have off, you need a week to rebuild. So that's what we're working through with Yeo, and we just can't advance it until he's ready to take the next step.
Still a couple of weeks away with that groin injury. North Melbourne have made two changes for their team tonight. Durden and Murphy come into the lineup. Bonner has been injured and Wood omitted. For the West Coast Eagles, four changes. Bailey Williams comes in. Archie, Sheed and Foley. He's going to play his first game. Out goes Brayshaw, who's been omitted. Brander's been omitted. McGovern injured. And O'Neill has been omitted. So Adam Simpson with plenty of changes heading into their final round clash tonight. As I said, a win all important to elevate themselves into the top four and give them a chance of finishing inside there. Speaking of selection news, we'll head to Leon Cameron now, who was asked yesterday whether the decision to drop Stephen Cornelio was the right one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Stephen, as I said before, would be the first one to put his hand up to say that his form wasn't to the level. And, you know, regardless of whether it's the captain, and I understand that the captaincy holds a significant weight, but I don't look back on it and say, oh, I wish I had have changed that now because we got beaten by 5 points. One thing I will say, he's been, you know, terrific. I mean, clearly it was a really hard decision last week. He could have wallowed around in pity and sort of, you know, just woe is me, but One thing, you know, that I really love about Cogs is that the character of him is front and square in all our meetings.
Another possible return this week is Dan Hanbury. Here's what Brett Ratten had to say about his availability for the Saints.
We'll sit down as a match committee this afternoon and have a look at his numbers and everything. He's done everything. He's an experienced campaigner that plays well in big games, and you know he's been out for a while. But to have the availability of picking him, it's you know it's something that we really strongly will consider. But we want to do the right thing by the team and everybody. But he's done everything that he needs to do, so we'll just sit down with the medicos and go through it in more detail. But I'd say he's more likely than unlikely.
Two big possible returns for Geelong as well. First of all, Chris Scott here on Gary Ablett.
Having seen him up close, I mean, certainly we were getting feedback for the last month or two that he was going well, but having seen it in the flesh, no, he'll certainly play, and I'm very confident he'll play well. So he's lacking a bit of match practice this year, but he's in better shape now than he was 12 months ago, so that gives me a lot of hope.
And also the return of Captain Joel Selwood.
No, he'll definitely play too. So we've held him back a little bit, or a lot actually. He could have played in previous weeks, at least in my opinion. But he and I, along with others, have put a lot of thought into this. And again, we can't guarantee that it's going to be the right decision, but it's been a really well-considered one to hold him back and at the very least go into a final series, giving him the best chance to be in the best health.
And just before we leave footy, good news for the Sydney Swans over the last couple of days. Tom Papley recommitting to the club. He won't be seeking a trade as he did last year. Still got a few years left on that contract as well. Here's John Longmire's reaction yesterday.
I knew a couple of weeks ago, and Tom's been terrific. I mean, he's such an important player for us, not only on the field. Everyone sees what he gives us on the ground, whether it's goals, goal assists, pressure, or just enthusiasm and energy on the ground. It's the other stuff he does off the ground as well. He drives the group really strongly, and for a young player who's so invested in other young players, to help be able to have him as part of our team is very important, and it gives some certainty going into the off season. And you know, he's just a wonderful young fella.
So the Blues will have to seek elsewhere for the small forward that they crave. Let's head to the cricket world now. This is an absolute ripper, this game. Australia 5 for 253 in the deciding one-day international between Australia and England after England. Amazingly, I was quite surprised to wake up and see this score. In the end, made 302. 7 for 302. The star of their innings was Johnny Bairstow, who made 112 in a fantastic opening innings knock.
Shot. Excellent shot. That's all the way for Johnny Bairstow. What a way to bring up your 100 with a big six off Pat Cummins. Well played, Johnny Bairstow.
I cannot think of a more spectacular shot I've seen in recent years to see a player go to three figures.
So it was an unbelievable start as Mitchell Starc picked up two wickets off the first two balls of the innings. Had Roy caught by Maxwell at backward point and then Root LBW the very next ball. So England were two for none after two balls. And that's what makes that Bairstow century all the more impressive to recover from that, to get his team to 7 for 302. Chris Wokes went nuts at the end, made 53 from 39 deliveries to boost that total. So Australia with a tough task to chase that down. We're in all sorts of trouble at 5 for 73 after Manus Labuschagne lost his wicket. The Australian batting innings, Warner made 24, Finch made 12, Stoinis 4, Labuschagne 20, and Mitch Marsh out for 2. Alex Carey currently 87 not out, Maxwell 93 not out. It has been some sort of partnership between these two. Hopefully they can bring it home over the next half hour or so. They need 46 runs from 32 deliveries with 5 wickets left in the shed. Good luck to the Aussies in the remaining overs. Let's head now to Brendan Julian, who spoke on Fox Sports yesterday regarding the Big Bash and the challenge of attracting overseas players with current quarantine protocols in place.
The big issue, I reckon, Adam, is the quarantining. I think players, I mean, you have a look at Jofra Archer, mate. He's done 87 days in quarantining from the first test match and also right through the England series as well. So that's going to be an issue for overseas players coming to Australia like AB de Villiers. If they're If they don't want to quarantine or they've been playing in the IPL and they've quarantined in the IPL, then they've got to quarantine here in Australia or they've been playing in the Caribbean Premier League. That is going to be a big issue for the BBL. And I think that's an issue that probably Cricket Australia haven't really thought about a lot.
Brendan Julian speaking on Fox Sports yesterday. Let's head to the golf now, where there's been some quite interesting comments made ahead of the opening round at Wingfoot, with the US Open set to commence this time tomorrow. We'll hear first of all from Dustin Johnson on the challenge.
I mean, you have to hit the fairways, you know, and then once you hit the fairways, it doesn't get much easier from there either.
Have a listen to what John Rahm had to say.
Well, Mike Tyson said everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. It's the same thing here. We all have a plan, but if you're hitting it sideways, you got to figure it out.
Not bad from John Rahm. And Tiger Woods thinks his age is no barrier to perhaps another US Open.
This year, I really haven't putted as well as I wanted to. And the times I did make a few swing mistakes, I missed in the wrong spots. You know, I think it gets harder to win as... we all age.
Time for a break at 5:45 on RSN. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on the rest of your footy news, NBA, tennis, rugby, and a bit of NRL news floating around as well. That next.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
36 for Murray. Jokic on the steal, ahead to Grant. And the Nuggets pouring it on. Timeout LA. A 20-point lead with 2:10 remaining.
Denver 104, the Clippers 89 in Game 7 yesterday. So Denver progressing to take on LeBron's Lakers. Game 1 in that series to start on Saturday. The Clippers fail on the big stage. Let's listen to Doc Rivers, their coach, after the series loss.
I thought we had so many opportunities over the last three games to win. But listen, you got to give Denver credit. They kept playing. They kept executing. They kept playing together. You know, so right now, just disappointment. You know, honestly, I thought you could just see the difference in the two teams. That team's been together. We haven't. And you can see it as the games went on. They just knew each other so well. I thought offensively, even though we had great shots. I mean, great shots all night. I still didn't think we trusted. You know, we did at the beginning of the game. We did coming out of the third quarter. We got a 7-point lead. But right when they put pressure on us, you know, honestly, I just thought we didn't come through.
Hey, Doc, this team never was able to reach its full potential. How good did you think this team could have been? And did the expectations, were they ever too heavy for this team?
No, we didn't meet them. That's the bottom line.
There we go. Yesterday, the Clippers going down to the Nuggets. Meanwhile, the Heat beat the Celtics in Game 1 in overtime. So Miami take a 1-0 lead in that series. The second match to come tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Let's head now to a bit of tennis news, and Novak Djokovic made his return in the Italian Open overnight. It was a successful one as well.
Well, the full-time champ safely through to the third round. His first match on the clay this year for Novak Djokovic. Well, you wouldn't know it. He looked very good indeed against Salvatore Caruso. He had to be good as well. Caruso played a solid match there.
So Djokovic 6-3, 6-2, the final score. Some of the other winners in terms of the seeds from the Italian Open on the clay. Raonic went through. Wawrinka got defeated. Berrettini, the number 4 seed, he was through as well. And Stefanos Tsitsipas was a casualty, the number 3 seed, beaten by Sinner in 3 sets. John Millman will be on court tonight against the 8 seed, Diego Schwartzman, in the round of 32. So good luck to the Australian there. On the women's side of things, a couple of live matches actually at the moment. Svitolina is playing Pavlyuchenkova. She leads 6-3. And trails 2-3 in the second set, but games on serve. The number 4 seed, and Carolina Pliskova, has just finished her match. She won 6-3, 6-3. So a couple of matches completed there on the women's side of things as we build up to the French Open. Let's head to a little bit of NRL news now. It's been a bit of a hot topic over the last couple of months in the rugby and rugby league world. teenage rugby union sensation, Joseph Suaalii, who's actually signed as a South Sydney junior in the NRL. The battle for his signature seems to intensify week upon week. He has requested upwards of $2 to $3 million for his first contract, which is unbelievable as both the codes wrestle over his services. Wayne Bennett, the coach of South Sydney, had this to say about him perhaps not making it to South.
I think the party's closed the door, but we're certainly at this point in time, he's not coming here. It may not be final yet, but certainly is from our point of view at the moment.
So perhaps rugby might win out on his signature. Sticking with the NRL world now, James Hooper from Fox Sports last night revealing that we could see upwards of 40,000 people at the NRL Grand Final.
The crowds will be at 50% capacity for the finals and particularly for the Grand Final. So they'll get 40,000 people out at ANZ Stadium. Massive victory given the tough times that the entire nation's had to go through this season.
And before we head back to the footy world, let's just finish with some rugby. Tim Horan saying yesterday that this weekend's Super Rugby Australian Grand Final is a fantastic place for the final Wallaby editions for the Bledisloe Cup coming up in a couple of weeks' time.
Got this young, you know, generation coming through. It might be a year or so early, but I think, you know, you've got to have, I think Dave Rennie's got this one eye on the next Rugby World Cup in France.
So there we go. Tim Horan ahead of the Super Rugby Grand Final this week between the Brumbies and the Reds. Meanwhile, in the cricket, just to bring you up to date, Australia 5 for 280, needing 23 runs from 19 balls. Carey, 101 not out from 108 deliveries. Maxwell, 104 not out from 87 deliveries. They both came to the crease when it was 5 for 73. It has been some sort of recovery from the Australians. And if Maxwell or Carey can guide them home here, it will be one of the great one-day wins to close out a series win against the world champions. Let's head back to the footy world, and we'll start with a couple of milestone men. Daniel Talia here ahead of his 200th for the Adelaide Crows, and what the future holds for him beyond 2020.
As I said before, I'm a pretty loyal guy, so I've got a family in Adelaide. My wife lives here, my kid lives here, and I'd love to be a one-club player. Obviously, you know, every kid that comes into the footy club would love that ideally, and you know, I'm really thankful for the opportunity that Adelaide Football Club have given me over the years and allowed me to, you know, grow up and be a part of the team and you know, create a life for myself outside of football as well. So I'm very... you know, as I said, very thankful to the club for the journey so far, and it's an obvious answer. I'd love to be here for, you know, as long as I can, but I'm also pretty realistic with where we're going. So, as I said, I've got next year on contract, so it's not stressing me out at all, and I'm just looking forward to playing 200 games.
Mitch Wallace yesterday speaking ahead of his 150th and the finals aspirations for the Dogs.
I'm not going to do much more reflecting until after the season because we've still got a job to do, and it's a really important week for the footy club because, you know, there's a lot riding on this weekend, and we're going to treat this weekend like a final because it's like an elimination. So looking forward to the challenge, but it does, you know, add a little bit more flavour that it's a milestone game for myself. I think going into last weekend, it was the same. There's a few results that have gone our way, but at the end of the day, we had to win the games that we're played in. So, you know, we won a close one against the Eagles and did well against Hawthorn on the previous weekend. So, again, Fremantle are going really well. They've proven that they've beaten some sides in the late run towards the end of the year. So we're going to have to be at our best. But again, it's in our control, and I look forward to that challenge. Yeah, so we've done it before, and I think we spoke about the belief side of things a few weeks ago about, you know, we're still within the hunt, even though we're outside the eight. So we've ticked off three in a row. Two in a row, and we've got a few more to go, but it's within our grasp, and we've done it before, so it gives us confidence, but it's still it's an almighty challenge.
Huge game for the Western Bulldogs this weekend, as on Sunday night they take on Fremantle at Kazali Stadium. Brett Ratten takes on GWS. We heard a little earlier from the GWS coach in Leon Cameron and the return of Stephen Cornelio this weekend. But Ratten also reflected on the close losses that St Kilda have suffered this year and hopes that perhaps this week isn't another one.
I think post-game there was. I think, you know, we thought we let one slip. We played some really good football through the year, but, you know, we just let ourselves down in periods. And, you know, the Geelong game, Collingwood game, they're the two that really... they blew us away, but outside of that, We've been in every game and we've had the opportunity. Really, at the start of the year, if you said this group, we're going to be 9-7 going into the last round with the opportunity to play finals, we would have put our hand up every day of the week.
Brett Ratten speaking yesterday to John Longmire. He spoke yesterday about Elijah Taylor, who has been stood down indefinitely from the AFL.
Well, we've obviously put out a statement and we've made a decision to stand Elijah down based upon not following club directives on a number of occasions, and in no way means trying to influence anything other than understanding that there's a court proceeding underway, but in all, we've just got to make sure that all of our staff members and players follow club directives over a period of time, and then we come to the decision that was a right course of action from the club's point of view.
Just switching back to the cricket, Glenn Maxwell is out. Top edge that was caught by short third man. So 108 he made from 90 deliveries, needing 18 runs still. Australia from 15 deliveries. They're 6 for 285. Alex Carey still not out at the crease. And Pat Cummins is the new man in. So fingers crossed the Aussies can get home from here. They certainly deserve it after an unbelievable performance by Maxwell and Carey to steer them back into contention after being 5 for 73. Let's head to Eddie Maguire now. He spoke on Channel 9 last night about still side bottom and when he'll return to the hub, or if he'll return.
There's a lot of water to go under the bridge yet, and a lot outside Collingwood's control and even the AFL. So there'll be discussions continuing between the AFL, Andrew Dillon, the boss at the AFL, underneath Gil McLaughlin, talking to Queensland Health, trying to make sure things come together as well as they possibly can. So Queensland Health, of course, are running the show, and if we can get things to work, then we'd love to have Sidey up here. Young Matilda is going beautifully, and Alicia, his wife, are just well and fit and everything we could possibly hope for. So let's see if it can come together.
Eddie Maguire speaking last night. The Aussies needing 15 from 13 deliveries. Alex Carey, 105 not out. Pat Cummins yet to face a ball. Whitey and Half are going to have a lot of fun at the start of the show this morning. It's all coming your way on The Breakfast Club. Don't forget Racing Pulse after 8.30 with Michael Felgate, Narrison Central. Taking it through to the first with Gareth Hall after 10.30. Stick around. Big morning coming up.